Super Chef Susan Vinegar.
And remember we asked if it would be rude to make a cook for us? Look what she did. She cooked for us.
Oh, my God.
What is this? What is that?
Poblano quesadilla. Mm. Homemade flour tortillas.
Oh, right? My God. Oh, my
Little
God.
Little guacamole and from California avocados. Mm.
That's just going to be the whole happy hour, me going, oh, no. God.
Where's the salsa? Did you leave it?
Is it really hot? I don't like really spicy. I'm sorry.
No, it's. I mean, you're wimpy, but.
I am. Yeah. I'm a big pussy. Yeah, I'm exactly. Such a pussy, I need to grab myself.
You better, because that salsa is so good.
Susan Vinegar,
I'm
going
to give it to
gentlemen.
The pups.
Susan Vinegar, ladies and gentlemen. Super chef. Super, we were just saying, well, first of all, you've gotten every, I don't know, chef award, every humanitarian award. You're just, you're too much.
Thank you.
There are people
you.
That are the right amount, and you are too much. What the fuck? Every goddamn thing I go to, Sean, every, you know, progressive cause, fundraiser, they're like, the food was generously provided today by Susan Vinegar.
I know. For many, many years, honest to God, it felt like we were the nonprofit company.
Right.
But not only were we not making money, but we were doing every nonprofit cause there could be.
You're doing fine now, sister.
We're fine.
Vanessa Rumbles is here, executive
All
producer
right.
extraordinaire. Not oh my God, we may even get her up to like double digits pounds. They're triple digits.
No, she's too skinny.
That is a quesadilla that Susan Vinegar made us.
What?
And homemade tortilla chips and guacamole.
And look at who's here to actually.
And Fred
eat.
Is here.
Oh. Who is this?
Fred. That's Fred.
Fred.
Yes.
Did you get any guacamole and chips?
No, don't do that. You know, dog diarrhea. Don't do that. No, Susan
Vinegar. Fred's sniffing my pockets to see what treats I have left from my dog this morning.
He's like, I smell Super Chef.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Susie Q, I don't remember how we know each other or how long we've been friends, but I've known you seems like forever.
40, and 50 years, 60.
No. That's your lying. Susan Vinegar, well-known chef and liar, is you know her from, what's the late, because I know you from Too Hot Tamales, but the other chef show was... What's the name of it?
Top Chef Masters.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Because I suck at cooking, so I don't. But
I don't know why I ever said I would do that show.
Why?
It was for charity. So it's like, okay, charity, okay, I'll do it. And then once I said yes, I wanted to kill myself.
It's intense.
Ugh.
And you have plenty of sharp knives available to do it if you needed to.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
But the end, it ended up being very fun.
Yeah.
Once, you know... It was the anticipation of doing it that it was like, why did I ever say I would do Top Chef Masters? And then once you got on,
but
it was
you're not just a great chef; you're just a little spitfire. Look at you. That's why you're a television and radio star, because you're. Look at you. You're just plucky and you're perky and you're funny.
Thank you.
How did I meet you? I don't even know.
I don't know.
I went to, I think, Border Grill one time. I remember you brought on all these fantastic things and. We fell
maybe
in love.
Maybe it was Border Grill, Santa Monica or something.
Right.
Could have been.
Right.
Way
I
back.
Don't know. And you're married now to Liz, who I love, but whatever.
Yeah. I love her too, but whatever, exactly.
How long? I thought I was going to steal you away over escargot, but whatever, lizard.
What happened?
How is the lizard, as
She's
I call her?
She's great. She's amazing. She's an amazing writer, director, doing her short film right now. That's so unbelievable. Wonderful.
Because I remember talking to her at that time. She's like, oh, I never see her. Our relationship's fantastic. I never see her. Because, being with a chef, right?
It's true.
What is that like? What are your hours, honey? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Never knowing, am I coming home when I think all of a sudden it's, 8:30 or 9 o'clock.
Right.
I think, wow, I'm off early. We can go have dinner. But, what's unfortunate now, all of our friends, 9 o'clock at night, they're like, no, we're not. We're like almost getting ready for bed. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah. Because, what hours are your hours when you want a restaurant and you're a chef? Just from zero dark 30 to insane o'clock to ass crack o'clock and then back at it again?
Sort of. Honestly.
I'm just spitballing.
It's, now this is 37 years later. Do you believe that?
Mm.
First restaurant. That was before you were born, almost.
Right, exactly. Susan, thank you.
So, it's like, let's say, on a given day, I go in later. Let's say it's 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning because I have to take our three dogs to the dog park. So let's say
oh, my God, these chips are fucking to die for. Guacamole, unbelievable.
I'm sorry. You're getting her to eat carbs. That's a huge thing.
Is that?
You were saying what?
So let's say I get down to work at 10. You know, an early night would be, then I get out of there by 8:30 or 9. That would be an unusual night.
Right.
So
all right.
That's good. You know, I mean, it's 10, 12-hour days now, which is, you know, cut back from 14, 15-hour days.
Right. You're a lunatic. All right, Susan.
Yeah. Thank you. I love that.
So wait, how long have you been with Liz?
22 years.
And you got married when?
About a year, year and a half ago. I don't know.
Oh,
that's
quite a lot of foreplay.
Year and a half. Yeah.
That's a lot of nipple circling.
She wasn't quite sure she was committed yet. Mm. You know? So.
What?
But we had to, her 94-year-old mom.
My mom's 94.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Does she live here?
No, she's she lives in Charlotte. I'm going there for Thanksgiving. She's a 94-year-old Trump voting, Fox News watching Republican.
Serious?
Yes. And I could have apparently gone through our mutual friend Marsha. I could have gone to your house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So fuck me with a goddamn gravy ladle.
Ugh.
Jesus.
Are you going to talk about Trump when you're there?
Yeah, my friend was like, oh, is Marsha going to be alone? Tell her she can come to my... I'm like, she's invited to Susan Feniger. She's going to be fine.
Wait a minute. Are you going to have any discussion on Trump when you're at home?
No, we just try to avoid it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I called her the next day to make sure she wanted me to come. And I said, Mom, hey, hi. Do you still love me? You still want me to come? Are you... Before I booked this today, she's like, oh, well, dear, yes, of course I love you. I don't really approve a lot of things. All right. Thanks for sharing that, Mom.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Man. Yeah. Oh, that LA Weekly article I sent her, Voice of the Resistance cover story.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, dear, how much did you pay him? Oh, the pain.
How nice.
Oh, the pain, Susan. Let's not make this about me. Let's make this about little Susie Q from Toledo, Ohio.
I have to tell you, want to just hear the story of how Liz and I ended up getting married?
Yes, please.
Okay. So her mom calls me, 94 years old, said, when are you getting married? It's like, what? So I call Liz. I don't know why your mom. Yeah, why is your mom calling me to say, when are you getting married? She calls her mom. Her mom says, I don't know how much longer I'm going to live.
Right.
So you need to do it before I die.
Right.
So we we're sort of there. It's last November. Maybe it was two Novembers ago. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But so calls me, says, you know, why don't we do it? It was like Tuesday. Why don't we do it this Friday? It's Friday the 13th.
Oh, fantastic.
So we'll never forget. It's Friday the 13th. So we find, you know, a friend of ours, Stephanie, not you.
No.
Stephanie.
I'm almost certain it wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't you.
No.
Recommended a friend of hers who's a judge. We said, okay, great. We ended up down at the children's courthouse. Liz picked me up from work, actually, in this
chef's
jacket.
Wearing your little chef jacket, yeah.
Yep, and she had on, I think.
You're cute as a little button in your chef jackets. I just want to fucking pop your head off. Go ahead.
So we
rub fucking fennel on you. What? Isn't fennel fantastic? Let's talk about that later.
I love fennel.
All right, let's talk about that.
Okay, I'll tell you the thing.
All right.
So we get to the courthouse, of course, Friday 13th. He asked us why. We said, we don't know, because Friday the 13th. Who forgets that? So we get there, and he's, you know, doing the, we're in his, there's toy stuffed animals all around because it's a children's courthouse. So it's perfect for
Liz.
That's
weird, yeah.
Because she's like a 13-year-old boy. So stuffed animals, great.
Yeah.
So he's Marius. He tells us Friday the 13th, right?
Right.
Way back when the matriarch sort of ran the world, Friday was the holy day.
Oh.
And not Sunday. Friday was. And 13 was the luckiest number ever.
Okay.
And when the patriarch took over, they moved the holy day to Sunday and made 13 the evil day.
Oh.
Very interesting,
right?
That's an
interesting fun fact.
Yeah.
Now, this will be so romantic. You can have your anniversaries like under a ladder with a black cat running back
and forth.
I'm a
little superstitious,
right?
Unfortunately.
Like,
yeah.
Happy Friday the 13th. Ow, honey, an anvil fell on my head. And now...
Don't walk over my legs.
No, she's fantastic. I love Liz.
Me too.
And I mean that in the nicest possible way. You know what? I did KTLA. I did television today. And do my false eyelashes look like they're Britney Spearsing on me? They feel like awnings, like Sarah Huckabee Sanders, that they're like falling.
No, they're long.
They look good.
They're long.
Oh, okay. Because I'm seeing through a haze of...
eyelashes?
Like a spider webs, yes.
Yes.
Susan... Let's talk about... All right, where do we start? Little... Do we have any nostalgia music? Do you know where that is? Little Susie Feniger. Yeah, is it... is an American chef, restaurateur, cookbook author, or radio TV personality from Toledo, Ohio, born 1953, Toledo, Ohio, ladies and gentlemen.
Toledo.
What's that all about?
Well,
what, siblings,
MASH.
Parents?
MASH.
Oh, was filmed there?
I don't know. Was it the star from MASH?
Alan Alda.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'm not making it up.
MASH was filmed there?
No, Alan Alda is from.
Oh, okay.
What we're known for. I can barely remember the names of anybody, even yours.
Okay. Stephanie.
Oh, yeah.
Stephanie.
Miller? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you were the lawyer.
Huh. Yeah. It's fine. Sorry. Mom and Dad were. Wait, I have this somewhere. Okay. Mom and Dad were. What were their names?
Ruth and Yale.
Yep. Nice Jewish folk.
Exactly.
Raised Jewish in Toledo, Ohio. Siblings.
Yep. But we did celebrate Christmas.
Why? Hmm. Just for. I don't know. It's fun.
Yeah, it was. All right. It was just a celebration.
Right.
And Hanukkah. Celebrate them both.
Now, were you into food when you were a kid? Or.
You know, I mean, I actually sort of was. My mom was an amazing cook. Really fantastic cook.
I think we're done with that music. Okay. I was just trying to give you a little flavor. Okay, go ahead. Uh-huh.
Your mom was. She was an incredible cook. Really great. Yeah. So, you know, I'd stand in there when I was really young, make the Velveeta cheese dreams with her on, you know, the tasty white bread.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, bacon chutney. You know, peanut butter things that would toast.
Our pizza's here because I wasn't even going to fucking try to cook for you. Sorry.
Really? Pizza?
It's really good pizza. It's good.
Mm,
what do you order for Susan Fenniger? I'm not going to try.
Yeah. I ate here once. Yeah. You are really a good cook.
Thank you. That was catered.
That was catered. Well, that cater was really good.
It's really good pizza.
You cater and you just put it, you take all the takeout boxes and you just put it on plates.
That's a good trick.
Do you get nervous about that? People are like, oh, fuck, Susan Fenniger's coming to our... No one party shit.
Nobody ever asks us.
What?
They don't. We never get asked to go to anyone's dinner party. Yours, like,
because you're too
10
intimidating. I have no respect. I'm just
crazy.
Like, fuck it, order pizza.
Exactly.
She'll eat it and she'll like it.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're intimidating, Susan Fenniger. Oh, so, all right. Now, siblings and what did the folks do? Tell me the whole.
Okay. Well, way back, my dad had this tiny little flower shop, and we all, my brother and sister, my brother's the oldest, 6 years older. He voted for Trump, too. I know.
Isn't it horribly depressing?
Yeah, that's
horrible. Does he watch Fox News, too?
He does.
Ugh.
I know. I love him.
We're operating from different sets of facts now. My mom and I have just given up, but my whole conversation is like, Mom, well, that's just not true, Mom. No.
Does she listen?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. She thinks I'm a florist. What?
Well, my dad was a florist, so he had a little flower shop.
That's why I was connecting.
I see, yeah. So, anyways, really fabulous. I loved it. I used to sit on the counter and make corsages, put the pins in the corsage.
Oh, for all the straights.
Yeah, exactly.
When did you know you were gay? Were you looking at incarnation and going, you know, that looks like a vagina and it's fantastic?
No. Much later.
Okay.
Much later.
Well, fine.
Much later. I was, you know, in my... 20s.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was, you know.
So you saw penises.
I was straight. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I was married.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
You didn't know that?
Wait, okay. You know what? Listen. Wait. I've done a little deep dive research.
Yeah, not deep enough. Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ. You've been 22 years with the lizard. I can't be expected to know everything.
Let me tell you this then. I was married and introduced my business partner of 37 years to
Milliken.
My ex, to Mary Sue Milliken, to my ex, because she was dating the loser guys.
Oh, my God.
She was dating all these losers.
Can I just say, because your story, and I know she's only your business partner, but it's the gayest fucking story ever. Susan Fenniger reveals the secret to making a 36-year culinary partnership work. While initially Fenniger and Milliken did everything from collaborating on dishes to visiting a fish market. Oh my God, what's gayer than going to a fish market together? So gay.
Have you ever been?
No.
No, of course. Not
Fenniger says they're different interests, plus the birth of Milliken's first child. I thought turkey baster. I thought just an accident while in a Thanksgiving preparation.
Yeah.
I thought, with you guys. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I judged.
Totally.
I'm sorry.
Totally.
No, not totally.
She's straight as can be.
Whatever. Quietly led to the two chefs taking on differing roles in the restaurants they shared. This was interesting. Milliken is German and very detailed. You said, I'm not German and way more sort of loose in there. Is it inappropriate to ask, as a Jew, did you feel uncomfortable cooking near ovens? Okay, that's not... with a, what? With a...
Oh, my
no?
God.
What? Is it... No?
No, no.
Is this over?
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You said I tended to learn more toward the chaos of a hot kitchen. And she sort of focused more on the cold kitchen and pastries. But then that's why you
exact.
Were... That's why it was a beautiful pairing.
Yes.
I apologize for the inappropriate.
Yeah. So did you hear what I said?
Yes.
So she was dating these loser guys.
Right.
Like,
yes.
This is way back. This is like 39 years ago.
Okay.
And I said, you should meet my ex-husband because you'd fall in love with him.
That's amazing. So you're just over like a fucking, I don't know, cod, like a black cod or something.
Huh?
At the fish market.
What?
And you're like, what? I'm wondering where they had the conversation. Was it at the
fish
market?
No, no, no. This is when we were working in Chicago in a restaurant.
Got it.
We hadn't even opened our own restaurant.
So she married your ex-husband. Yeah. That's a fantastic story.
And I'm the godmother of her oldest son.
Wow. That is fantastic.
And he's the architect of our restaurants.
Oh, my God. Okay, I did hear that. I have that.
Okay,
I
good,
have that.
Good, good.
I was going there. That's fantastic. That's a fantastic magical story.
Isn't it?
So, no, wait. How long were you married to him?
Well, we lived together after college.
Yeah.
After we dropped out of college.
Sure.
And then we lived together and we sewed a teepee together in Vermont and then lived out in the teepee on a farm, you know, out in the middle of the country next to cows.
God, that's so Field of Burn.
And we were together like, I don't know, 8 years.
Yeah.
7 or 8 years living together. And, you know, my father hated that.
Yeah.
But then he probably really wished.
And he's like, oh, God, please. Can we get the penis back?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, I love the penis. your parents were not good with the A-gay?
No.
Ixnay
but they got closer to it. They were better. They accepted, you know, Liz.
Yeah.
Because she was Jewish from the Midwest.
Yeah.
So that helped.
Right. They were like, oh, she's Jewish.
Yeah, thank God. Okay. And she's smart. And,
she's
blah,
smart
blah,
and pretty
blah.
And fantastic and smart like you.
Thank you. Oh, so sweet.
It's true. Wow. So, but that was an evolution for them.
It was.
Yeah.
It definitely was.
Yeah.
You know, but I just put it right in their face. I was always pretty rebellious as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though I loved cooking with my mom, I was still very rebellious.
Yeah.
And my sister can't cook at all.
What would you do?
I bought all my clothes at the Salvation Army. I was a tomboy. You know.
So wait, what was your journey in terms of like good sex with your husband? Because some women, some women I've been with, actually, my partner, been married, been loved, had good sex with men. But, you know, or I've had women that said, you know, the sex was good, but I fall in love with women. Like, what was your journey?
Yeah,
Did you know right away when you were married?
No. I really did.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. I was in the restaurant business in Kansas City and, you know, and I loved Josh's family and loved him. He's a great guy and, you know, interesting and artistic and all those things. And he was, but I don't know, I met, you know, there was this lesbian working as a bartender at La Bonne Auberge in Kansas City. And we'd all go out drinking and suddenly it was like, oh my God, what's this?
What's that?
And that was that.
What is that feeling? What's that little thing in my tummy? So you're totally not gay, obviously, partner. I did not know this until I was reading this. The SNL sketch, the Sweaty Balls Women, were based on you guys because they said the show poked fun at their earnest enthusiasm for all things culinary.
I loved that. I love that we were, you know, that was, on Saturday Night Live, talking
balls.
About the hour of salt.
I love that.
The NPR show.
But it was your KCRW show, Good Food, that they were actually parodying.
Yeah.
And so when was the first time you heard about it? Did you watch it and go, oh, my God, that's us? Or?
We did. We must have gotten a call from Anna. What's her name? From Saturday Night Live.
Anna Gasteyer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So we got a call from her, or the radio station did, and she came on for one of our anniversaries on the show. And talked with us about it. So I don't think we reached out. Maybe our producer did. So it was very fun. It was that honestly, I felt like, okay, this is success.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was cool.
Because you are just a food nerd. No offense. You're just, right?
I know.
I mean, it's
I know.
Because your passion's real. right?
It is.
I mean, you're.
It is.
It's, yeah.
I, you know, I love food. I love wearing a uniform to work every day. Yeah. I love not having to think about.
You didn't grow up Catholic, because fuck that shit, man. Yeah. I wear a uniform every day.
I love all I have to think about is, okay, what color shoes am I going to wear, and do they match my jacket?
No, I this whole story, I was reading this one about when you started Border Grill, obviously, you know, gourmet Mexican food. You said you couldn't get Mexican ingredients here, like tamarind or chipotles, so you smuggled them in your... So you started as a chipotle smuggler, basically.
Sort of,
so
yeah.
So thank God Donald Trump's wall was not in place.
And thank God, yeah.
Goddamn... tamarind smugglers.
I did have to sneak over the border once.
Oh, did?
In the back of a van.
Why?
Because we were with the, you know, at Border Grill, we have all these murals everywhere. Right. All of our restaurants have all these great murals. Our two friends in London, Sue Huntley and Donna Muir, they are the artists who have done it. They came, one of them's from London, one's from Canada.
Yeah.
We took them across the border to Tijuana to show them what Mexico feels like so they could get a feel of colors and stuff. And as we were coming back across the border at 11 o'clock at night, the woman from London only had her driver's license because that's all we thought we needed. And...
You, excuse me, we're white. You don't seem to understand, por favor. habla inglés?
Anyways...
We are very rich white ladies. I own restaurants.
Didn't really help, but so two of them walked over, and myself and the English woman went up the hill, and I paid someone to put us in the back of their van, and we snuck over the border to come back.
Yeah, that's why it's Border Grill.
We made it. That's why it's Border Grill. Exactly.
Wow.
Oh my God. So. Yes, but anyway, huge hit. It was so popular, forced to move to Santa Monica. But you guys met, I love this, you actually met at a French restaurant in Chicago.
And, we
but,
did.
But because you said, well, people were in front tasting escargot, you guys were in the back with, you know, the people in the kitchen tasting actual Mexican food.
We were.
Yeah.
We were. I mean, all the restaurants that both of us had worked in were French restaurants, and... That's where Mary Sue and I met in Chicago at Le Perroquet.
Yes.
And all of our training was in French. But exactly. And but being women in the kitchen in the late 70s in French kitchens, you were sort of put with the prep guys. And most of the prep guys were from Mexico.
Right. And see, so, this is how I also relate to you so much, because I've been in a boys club my whole life, and radio, and stand-up, and politics. And so, same thing. I mean, I think it was your partner that was talking about this. You said, I was the first woman. Susan was hired quite quickly after. The owner was like, wow, this girl works circles around the boys, and she's half the price.
Yeah, exactly.
But I had to fight my way in. This guy did not want to hire me. He was very resistant. It's definitely harder. So, a boys club, again.
For sure. It was then, and honestly, it probably still is, although there's certainly a lot of women in kitchens now. But still, you know, in big restaurants, there's most women end up that are successful end up opening their own place versus being like executive chef of some corporate thing. Most women that are successful end up owning their own places.
I mean, don't you feel like that's a weird dichotomy in, you know, when we all grew up, you were born in the 50s, that women did the cooking. Like, isn't that weird dichotomy that
such
you go, like, how come women are supposed to be, that's supposed to be women's work, right? You know, quote unquote, in the 50s.
And
but why was that? Like, why is there that weird, even in that business, that's supposed to be women's work? Right?
Yeah, it is. It's weird because the women's place is in the kitchen. That's sort of what they used to say. And yet, in professional kitchens where you got paid, there weren't women. Back in the 70s, when I was at Culinary Institute in New York, so that was back in whatever, middle of 70s, you know, there were literally, in my class of 80, there might have been two women.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's still... You know, it is for sure, it's a heavy-duty career, lots of lifting. You get dirty, you get burnt, your fingernails are dirty and that. And, you know, and you get scars all over your arms and you cut your hands and fingers. And
it's very masochistic.
It's dirty and gross, and I love it.
But just from, just from childhood, you just loved, because my mom was the opposite. I would go in the kitchen with my mom. She'd be like, oh, dear, I'll do it. No, it's okay. Don't. But so honestly, like I'm a crappy cook. I mean, I'm okay. Yeah. I can like put here, put protein on grill, make salad. Like, that's pretty much my, just like, that's why I like to eat anyways, just simple.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And healthy. But I honestly, like, part of it is because I think it is the relationship you have with your mom. I mean, my long-term ex was also Jewish, and she was a fantastic chef. Everybody in her family is, but because she learned it from her mom and the kid. Like, I don't know if it's obviously not exclusively Jewish,
right?
But she really loves it. To me, it's still sort of like housework. Like, I'll do it for people I love, and I actually love making people happy that I love. But
right.
For me, it's like, oh my god, this is like housework, and I'm really good. But some people really love it, and it's their passion, and their you know, and that's all I was saying is it is a weird thing that my ex was just loved, and it was great at it, and was a, there's passion involved, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's interesting. My sister doesn't love to cook,
right?
And but I think, you know, for me, it's a combination of the whole. It's the whole picture. I love food. I love to cook. I love the creativity of it. I also love the business part of running a business. I love the interaction with customers, with staff, you know. I like the whole, the feel of family, the creating, you
That's
know,
part
family.
Of it. It's family.
It
yeah.
is. It's for sure. The restaurant business is probably, yeah. I mean, it is so much about family.
My ex actually had an interesting, well, not interesting, horrible. Her brother disappeared and, you know, was presumed dead. In a, you know, windsurfing thing. He was in the army, but it was not army related. It was windsurfing in the Sea of Japan. But so her mom just kind of checked out, and she had to cook full meals for the entire family and friends or whatever since the time she was 14. And so, but it is like, there are so many people that have connections, but it was a family thing. It was holding the family together. I mean, that's the thing that people don't get, that food sometimes can mean more than just food.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
it's
connected to love and caretaking and family. And
yeah, it really is. I mean, and it's also, I mean, in all the travels that I've done over the years, I mean, even just coming back from this trip from China and being with a lot of young kids who didn't speak much English at all, but going out saying, let's go, you know, communicating, you want to go eat on the street at some stand.
Right.
Food brings people together because that's the common, that there's a common language there. And there's something about if you go into someone's home or you eat on their street corner, there's something that opens up their world to you that you don't get from going to a museum, or you don't get from, you know, just doing tours.
It's a bonding. Yeah.
There,
So, all right, hang on. I have so many things to ask you. Okay. So two hot tamales on the Food Network, obviously, You've gotten a million awards, but Lifetime Achievement Award by the California Restaurant Association. I mean, and the other thing is all your activism, because you're as well known now as a famous chef, as a famous activist. You're on the board of the LGBT Center. You're on, when you were on the Top Chef show, everything went to, and I wondered where you got involved in, is it scleroderma? Where did you get involved in that, and why?
So my college roommate, Sharon Monsky, we, you know, went to college together. Then she went up to Stanford Business School, and after she graduated, she was this, you know, very, very smart kid working for a big management consulting firm. She ended up getting diagnosed with the disease called scleroderma.
Yeah.
And she decided she was going to start the Scleroderma Research Foundation because there was no work really being done about scleroderma research. There were little tiny grassroots support groups. But she started this foundation, and many of her grad school friends and undergraduate friends went on the board. And so I was on the board. I've been on the board now for 30 years.
Yeah, you're right. She's like, I have to go into a board meeting. I'm like, which one? You're on the board of fucking everything. LGBT Center, scleroderma, every fucking, you know, event I go to is catered by Susan Fenniger.
The scleroderma thing is so great. I mean, really, this, not that it's so great. My friend Sharon passed away about 14 years ago, but we've been doing this event called Cool Comedy Hot Cuisine. This is probably our 35th event. We do LA, New York, San Francisco, and Las Vegas, and it's called Cool Comedy Hot Cuisine. And
yeah,
Bob Saget's on the board with me. And, yeah, you know, it's just, it's It's an incredible
fundraiser. Has he pitched you a show like America's Funniest Cooking Accidents?
No.
What? Things that's specifically with hot grease, maybe knives.
Okay, oh,
listen, Susan, yeah. I'm just spitballing here. I live in my basement. Just humor me. So, all right, you and your partner, Mary Sue Milligan, worked together in Chicago and Paris. So you first did City Cafe, then City Restaurant, yeah. then Border Grill, then Latin-flavored Ciudad. So you, because I'm reading here, you've been influenced by the food and culture of so many nations, right? India, France, Mexico. I don't know if this China trip was business or whatever, but what? So you just sort of, how do you develop, like, what kind of restaurant you want to open or what sort of cuisine you have a passion for?
Well, that is challenge. I mean, I love many food from many, many places.
It's surprising you're not 475 pounds.
Almost.
I'm just saying.
Almost.
Oh, no.
Well, you know what? You're on your feet a lot, and you go and you snack, snack, snack all day, but you don't. What happens is you don't end up eating big meals. You end up little snacks all day.
Yeah.
And it's probably a great way to eat.
Yes. Well, obviously, the other thing, street, which is it's a cool idea, the multi-ethnic eerie of street food in Hollywood, because that is such a thing, and you had everything there. I was sample dishes, millet puffs, Mama San chicken curry dumplings,
pani puri from India,
peanut butter cookies.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, it definitely, we had, you know, influence there. So City Restaurant was also, that was our very first restaurant in 1981. And that was sort of influenced from food around the world.
Right.
And I ended up, you know, in India quite a bit. And Mary Sue was in Thailand. And
right.
Then over the years, we had closed that restaurant after like 15 years. Eventually, you know, like 10 years ago, I opened Street, which was in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it was there for 8.5 years, and it was street food from around the world.
Yeah.
And I love street food. I love the cultures of the street. I love what you learn about people on the street. I love the inspiration that comes from it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was food from everywhere. Vietnam, China, India, Portugal, Spain. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite food?
Cuisine? I don't know. No.
No.
I mean, I love the Indian kitchen. I love the Mexican kitchen. Now that I just came back from China, I love the Chinese kitchen.
Yeah.
No.
As you know,
I'm not that big on
Europe. Orange assholes in China as we speak.
Yeah.
The Cittadini.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lotus. You heard the thing about how he loves fast food and he wanted the White House kitchen to replicate McDonald's. And when they couldn't do it exactly, he sent his bodyguard out to McDonald's. For a quarter pounder, pickles.
Is that true?
Because you don't want any, things like a vegetable. Right. Extra ketchup and a fried apple pie. Can you elaborate us on George Bush, famously didn't like broccoli. Reagan only liked macaroni and cheese. Why do Republicans have such shitty taste in food? What the fuck, man? What the fuck? He's just a fat orange tub of goo. No offense to him at all.
Yeah.
KFC and McDonald's seem to be a quarter pounder. That seems to be his food of choice.
Right.
That's sad. Yeah. I mean,
the White House, he can get the best chefs in the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I can barely stand to talk to him. I can't, I had a hard enough time seeing Bush on the newspaper.
Yes, I know.
Covered. Now,
this is exponentially worse.
Yeah. Now I just wish, wouldn't it be great to have him back in office?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Susan, I don't think you understand. I get 2 scoops of ice cream. Everyone else gets 1, and this is the most beautiful chocolate cake you've ever seen.
Oh, wait, so he eats his steak overcooked. How do you feel about that?
Oh, Susan, what the fuck?
Well done with ketchup.
It's just... And it's probably...
Another reason to hate him.
It's probably filet. My least favorite, but...
Really?
Yeah.
What's your favorite steak cut?
Ribeye.
I love ribeye, too.
I know.
Does the bone-in give it more flavor?
Yeah, for sure. It's fattier and
But don't you think that's guilty of execution, just like treason, eating a steak well done with ketchup?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I do know, Liz likes her steak not pink. She likes a little bit of pink.
I like it mooing.
Yeah. So you know, when I'm with Liz, and if we get a big steak, I have to compromise.
Oh, because you like it how?
Medium rare to rare.
That's me too.
Yeah.
Oh, we're a missed opportunity, Susan. Yeah. God bless Liz. But all right, whatever. It's fine. What? It's fine. Let's. Okay. Here's my one story I love. When you opened Mud Heaven Tavern.
Yeah.
But you said you had fond childhood memories of going to baseball games with your dad in Toledo, Ohio to watch the Mud Hens.
Yeah.
And afterwards, you'd wander over to the local bar to get sandwiches and argue.
And have fried bologna sandwiches.
Right?
My favorite.
Right. But so a lot of this is very influenced by your childhood experiences and your sort of, you know, because you're right, food is more than food. It's you got to go where everyone knows your name, to some fucking bar, right? Where,
I love down home gritty places. Right. I really do. I love great diners. When Liz and I are traveling, we eat on the street. We eat in neighborhood joints. We never go to fancy restaurants. We never plan it that way. We walk around and find a neighborhood joint.
That's a good tip, actually. Yeah. Just not only to save you money, but I think the same thing, to get the real flavor of where you are, not the sort of fancy, rarefied, you know, version of where you are. I mean,
you get such a great feel of the culture, of the people, of the neighborhood, of, you know, what people are eating. And I don't know. I just, for me, eating and food is about also the experience, the culture. It really is. It's a very mixed number of things for me, more than just cooking and eating great food.
Do you have 5 or 6 cookbooks out?
6.
Okay.
6.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Dear Jesus. I love that you appeared with Julia Child in Cooking with Master Chef.
Oh, my God.
Come on,
Matt. She was the best.
That must be when I met Carol Burnett. You must have just been like, oh, my God. Yeah.
She was the best. We did a ton of stuff with her over the years. And talk about someone who was so humble and gracious. Right. And no matter what, she would always, like, say, you know, what are you doing? What are you girls doing? Why aren't you back on TV? And she was fabulous.
Yeah.
She was fabulous.
Because I feel like she's such a legend that I think of her as Dan Aykroyd in this SNL going, oh, I've caught the dickens out of my finger. Like, I think of that. And then I think of Meryl Streep. Like, because you think of the Meryl Streep version, like, oh, you know, or the, who was the other one with Amy Adams?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
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 There's going to be those movies made about you, Susan Fenniger.
Get used to it.
Yeah. I'm going to do Susan and Me.
Yeah, do that.
Remember Julie and Me? That was the movie.
Yes.
But, okay, so in person, she was what?
Warm and sweet and caring and interested and no ego and just smart. And
yeah.
When we taped one of the shows we did with her, was like 2 days of filming, and I don't know how old she was. She might have been 75 at that time.
Right.
And literally, we'd be filming from like 5 in the morning, you know, to like 6 o'clock at night. Yeah. And then we'd go out to Border Grill and eat and drink and hang. And it'd be like 11 o'clock at night. We're going to be back
you
at 5 the next morning. And
go drinking with Julia Child. Come on. Yeah,
the best.
Fantastic.
The best.
What was her voice like? Was it like Dan Aykroyd?
It was.
Ooh!
Exactly. It really was. It was hysterical. Oh, my goodness. It was hysterical.
I was reading just a, you know, thing, which is what I found when I went, and I don't remember again how we met or why I was, but anyway, about your, Sue and Susan were unusually approachable, winning over broad clientele, not only with their cooking, but with their warmth and casual interaction. That's a thing, right? Like, chefs are like politicians. Like, you would go out there and you're like stars, like like Hollywood stars, like politicians. But people would be like, oh, she's coming over. And like, you would come over and go, how is everything? And we'd be like, oh, my God, it's great. Like, you know, but it's a, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it is not just in the kitchen. It's a.
Yeah. I mean, it was for sure Food Network did that.
Right.
When we were on Food Network, when Food Network first started, which is when we're on, we filmed over 4 years. Like 455 shows.
Oh, wow.
So we were taping 6 shows a day.
This is the Two Hot Tamales.
Yeah,
Hot Tamales. And this was with Sue, right?
This was with Mary Sue.
Oh, Mary Sue, yeah. Okay.
So we were filming 6 shows a day. Now, like when I did Top Chef Masters, it was like one show took like 8 days or 5 days. It was crazy.
Right.
So it was just, it was, but when that was happening, we were, when the show, when Food Network first started, we were on like 6 times a day. So we'd be walking down the street in Manhattan and the firemen would be like, hey, there's a Two Hot Tamales. And so it was an interesting, it was an interesting, you know, reaction people had. Definitely it was, it made chefs celebrities for sure.
What, and honestly, you've like given back, not just LGBT, human rights campaign, as you, you know, scleroderma, all that stuff. But I love this line. She's a classically trained chef with a passion for ingredients and flavors, found the best street food in the world. So now classically trained means what? You are trained to classical music exactly, or?
Always.
Just trained. What does it mean?
I do love classical music, but classically trained in strict French kitchens.
Oh, and is that what classically trained
French,
means?
Yeah, strict French kitchens, went to culinary school, worked in really like very strict French kitchens for 7 or 8 years.
What's that movie with Helen Mirren? I love that movie. With the young guy.
Yeah.
What's,
you know.
Yeah, the chef movie.
Yeah, with the Indian across, the Indian restaurant across, or the Indian.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Helen Mirren's the master chef. That,
what about Tortilla Soup? Did you ever see that movie?
No, were you in that?
We did all the food for that.
Oh, my God.
You know the Chinese version, eat, drink.
Joy, love, something.
Oh, eat, pray.
Eat, pray, love.
That was Julie Roberts, right?
Yeah, no. This is, I can't remember. But anyways, this was, Tortilla Soup was a movie, Hector Elizondo and Raquel Welch and blah, blah, blah. And we did all the food for that, which was totally cool and fun.
I'm that kind of goon that after that movie, Vanessa, the Eat, Pray, Love, when I went to Italy, to Florence, I was like, is this where Julia Roberts had the best pizza? Is this the place? Because they're like, oh, yeah. Ah, it's just
embarrassing.
Ugly American. Yeah, ugly American. Yeah, absolutely.
Very.
But that, she made that pizza look really fucking good, right?
She did.
I don't know how this pizza is going to stack up, Susan Vinegar. I mean, it's good from our neighborhood joint.
It's
intimidating. Yeah, I'm sorry you don't get invited anywhere. See, I didn't
nowhere
invite you.
Once.
Well, I don't. Listen, no, you've been to a dinner party here. It was catered. I didn't do it. So I was just like, look, it's not my fault.
I thought you cooked.
Right.
That dinner.
Right. I did. Mm-hmm. No. I'm so sorry. That's such a sad story, isn't it? That Susan Vinegar doesn't get invited anywhere. Because people are intimidated of her.
No one cooks for her.
No, well, I just ordered a neighborhood joint pizza. You know what? You're going to like it.
I'm hoping for another dinner invitation.
Oh, my God. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't. Is that weird that we don't remember how we met? Why we're friends? I don't remember.
You must have.
We have a lot of mutual friends.
You must
friends
have come
now.
Into the restaurant.
I did. Because I didn't just wander into your restaurant.
I never got invited to parties either.
I did. I invited you here.
Yeah, I know you did.
But I didn't just wander into your restaurant.
Yeah, that was way before that.
I think Liz was a fan. She's a fan of my radio show.
Yeah, you're right. She was.
And she invited me to. Okay.
Right. Did she invite you to something?
Something.
Is that
perhaps
when we met?
Your restaurant? Maybe.
I think it was before. Maybe. Maybe.
Is this a new NPR show? Just two old ladies misremembering things?
I think it could be.
Could that be it? No. Maybe. No. What? This is not entertaining to young people? Vanessa, what?
It's amusing.
I think
it is. It's very sweet.
So wait, do we cover what it was like seeing your first penis? Did you want to fillet it like pepperoni, or did you want to fuck it? What? I mean, seriously, like what?
Oh, my God.
Did you say that?
Can't you block that out? No.
No, what? Did you... But you were, you loved your husband, but you were just like, oh, there's something missing. There's that little butterfly thing
missing.
Well,
it was that thing. Yeah. No, it wasn't even that. I didn't even know it was missing. It was just all of a sudden there was a different thing. And I was like, wow, I need to explore this.
When were you with your first woman?
Then, which was like when I was 25, maybe.
Oh, you were a little older
I was
me.
Old, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I was old.
And you were just like,
what?
Wow, what's this about?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Don't you think that's the difference, that we can all be turned on by what, but you know, like falling in love is a different thing
for sure, but you know, once that happened, I never looked back.
Yeah, no looking back.
I never looked back, no more dabbling. No, didn't have any interest.
Yeah,
just never looked back.
Yeah. Did you, with all the sexual harassment stuff going on out here, did you ever ever bend you over a hot stove? Because it's a male thing.
It is
right?
A male thing. You know, I think probably because when I was already, once I got cooking.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I started off straight, but pretty early on in my career.
Yeah.
I was out and open and a lesbian, and I think it just...
Yeah.
And maybe that prevented it from happening. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's... For me, I never had that experience because I sexually harass people before they get to me.
Yeah, well, that's...
Yeah, I'm very aggressive, very preemptive.
Are you? Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think I ever... What? No, I did, I'm just saying, I didn't really have a lot of the Me Too experiences. I just didn't, and I feel bad for people that did. Yeah. And I don't know, because, you know, if we were more like... I think I've always scared the shit out of men, even before I was, you know, out as a gay woman.
Yeah.
I just think, like, strong women tend to scare men, and I just didn't have that experience.
Yeah, and, yeah, I really didn't either. And I, you know, I worked with all men, like, almost all men. But I was sort of one of the gang. I don't know.
Yeah,
I was
me
one
too.
Of the gang.
No, me too. You know who just said that to us is...
Jillian Barbary?
Yes, Jillian Barbary, who worked on NFL Sunday with
Fox
all
Sunday.
The guys. And she said, I've never had... I've always been one of the guys. I've never had this experience. I don't know whether there's something about very strong, outspoken women that kind of scare men. And I thought that's actually something worth talking about, because I'm not saying that any of these women deserved it or had it. Like,
right.
But I'm just saying there is something about projecting... You know, not me.
Yeah, don't mess
like,
with me.
Yeah, I'm strong. I'm, you know, like, don't, I'm not a victim. I mean, and that's not to minimize a lot of these women, because I'm sure in kitchens, in radio, in stand-up, there's a thick Louis C.K. today, women in stand-up. Yeah. I just didn't have that experience. First of all, I didn't really do stand-up. I've always done radio and TV. I've never really been on the road to that extent.
Right.
But I'm sure there are a lot of women that do, and it's not their fault, but I just think there is... After what's happened to Hillary and everything we've been through, and the Women's March and all the women candidates that just won, there is something about empowering women.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, it's. I don't know
to go. You don't put up with this for 1 second. You have the, you know, and I get it that women sometimes economically don't feel empowered enough to say.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know that I'm aware of women who. Have been in that situation. Although I do know a couple women who have, you know, walked away from it and gotten out of that situation. And, you know, that even, and obviously that alone is scary enough. They have to be in a place where you're threatened physically.
Yeah.
You know, and then emotionally what that does to you.
Yeah.
It just, this blows me away.
Yeah.
I mean, this is obviously, this is the beginning.
No,
of
I mean,
all
I've
we're
said
gonna
this,
see,
I've which said this for a long time, that even you look at all these recent shootings, what's the one thing in common is domestic abuse. And the one thing that I've always talked about is, like, I wish that we could empower women to be able to say, like, a man hits you once and you're out the door. Because I feel like there's a through line, too, of women being scared and women not reporting or women retracting or women. And I totally, but, you know, I have to say, Liz, and I've talked about this, and not very often because it's very painful for me. I was the victim of domestic violence once with a woman. And
wow.
But I got out of it right away. And I'd never experienced it in my life. And I thought, this shouldn't be different with a woman. Shouldn't be different if it's a woman or a man.
Right, right. I don't, you know, it is an interesting thing that people make the decision to stay in a relationship like that. Obviously, it's, you know, much deeper than just that of being able to walk away. There's some reason why, obviously, people can't walk away. I don't understand it, but
but you look at this latest shooter, unfortunately, in Texas, and, you know, he had a series of this, and, you know, that fell through the cracks, but also the second wife, like, texted a friend who was being abused and then retracted. But again, there's a lot of fear involved, there's a lot of, so I just hope that going forward, and you're so much about this, Liz, about empowering women. I mean, not just you know, I'm sorry, I called you Liz. Susan, I know who you are. No, but you know what I mean about empowering women and, you know, not just gay people, women, whatever, but going forward, I think it's so important right now to, you know, to our progress, because I think we saw this, and I hope so, based on these latest election results, that this was just a last gasp of the homophobic, racist, sexist, old Fox News watching people, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, and I'm sure you've said it a million times on the show, but the fact that there's all this violence happening, to me, the fact that the President of the United States has from the very beginning said that violence is okay
in every way.
And so I believe that has caused this just huge amount belief that violence is okay, however, yeah. in whatever form. And so we have this, like, I don't know, how when have we ever seen this kind of violence
never.
In this country?
And I mean, if you think it's getting worse, it is.
Yeah.
Statistically, you can prove it, that there is a violent, horrible sort of, not that it's not happened before, but just there's a racist element, whether it's Charlottesville,
Absolutely.
There's a homophobic element. And you know, you look at this latest Judge Roy Moore, who's, you know, apparently been with teenage girls like you, who's been saying homosexuals literally should be illegal.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, but look at, I mean, honestly, when you say that and you look at all the sexual harassment things that are happening right now, you look at how did we as a country elect a president who was sexually harassing women all over the place, and we all knew it, and yet he still got voted
We didn't.
In.
Russia did. Russia and
true.
Voter
that's
suppression
true,
and
true.
All
yeah.
of it. And I think people, honestly, Susan, this latest reaction is people know this election was fucking stolen. Somebody, there was a piece today in the LA Times about that, you know, they've never seen this. People still relitigating, like, because people fucking know in their souls this was not legitimate, that yeah. this was a stolen election, that this was not a fair election, that this is something installed by a foreign government. And so I think that, I've said this before, Suze, I think we're rejecting him like a bad organ, and that gives me hope.
Yeah.
Not just these latest elections, mm-hmm. but that they are losing the demographic and the generational and the battle of ideas. And the resistance is working, and it may take time, and it may be uneven, but, you know, because of people like you, because of patriots like Susan Fender, who fucking is everywhere all the time, how could she possibly donate food to every goddamn progressive cause and fundraiser? But she does, in addition to, I don't know, fucking owning restaurants and flying around the world, and what the fuck, Susan Fender, really? You are Superwoman, and I salute you.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing this.
Absolutely.
Thank you for degrading yourself in such a way.
Thank you for feeding me with cheese and beer and pizza.
I think we tricked her into saying Lily Tomlin did it, who's her good friend.
I love Lily.
Yeah, she's the best.
Love Lily.
That's how we get them in. That's how we reel them in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mark Twain winners have done it. Come to our basement. Susan Fender, how do we help you? How do we support you? How do we support your causes? What do we do?
Okay, well, you know, the two things closest to my heart, the Los Angeles LGBT Center,
yep.
for sure, right here in LA,
yep.
is the most amazing board, does the most incredible, important work, and something that inspires me more than anything that I do.
Yep.
And, of course, the Scleroderma Research Foundation is something that is very close to my heart because of my close friend.
Wait, do we have a restaurant now? I can't remember. I know you closed Border Grill, right?
Yeah, Border Grill downtown.
Okay.
And we've got Border Grill at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, Border Grill at Forum Shops, out at the Huntington Gardens. We have Border Grill, and then we have our street version of the Noodle and Dumpling House out at the Huntington Gardens in Pasadena.
What?
We've got at the airport, Border Grill in Bradley Terminal. We have Blue Window in Terminal 3. Two Border Grill trucks, catering, Border Grill catering.
How do we find out about all of it? Where is it? SusanFenniger.com? What?
Yeah, BorderGrill.com.
BorderGrill.com.
And then you can find out BlueWindow.com. You can go to the Huntington Garden. You can come visit us at Mandalay Bay, at the Forum Shops, Border Grill downtown, at the airport, trucks, everything.
Jesus Christ,
She's
Susan
everywhere.
Fenniger. God, we love you, Susan Fenniger.
Thank you. Super chef. I love you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being had. We appreciate it. Thank you. Oh, my God. Those quesadillas. Oh, my God, you guys.
I'm going to go with pizza.
Let's do it.
Pizza.
Yeah.